Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits.
Hi, I'm Alexis Ohanian. You may know me as one of the co-founders of Reddit, but more recently, a large part of my identity is being a father to my wonderful daughters. In my podcast, Business Dad, I hope to open the conversation about working parents a bit. You'll get to hear from a wide range of business dads, from Rainn Wilson and Guy Raz to Todd Carmichael and Shane Battier, to find out how they balance being a dad with a successful career. Business Dad is available now, so be sure to listen and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello and welcome to the IGN UK podcast. It's me, Simon, and I'm here with Jesse Gomez.
Hello, Simon.
Hello.
Hello. You're right. I thought that was going to continue off into something else.
What is so funny about that?
I don't know, because I'm looking right at your face and you're so happy right now. It threw me off a little.
Is it that odd to see me happy?
Yes,
say a lot
honestly.
Of good things about me. I can just see The Last of Us is turned on behind you there, so you might want to pause
shit,
that.
I'm going to turn it off right now, actually. Turn the TV off, I don't want to see anything.
How are you doing?
How am I doing? I'm all right. Yeah. I've just got a mirror that shows the back of my head.
I like it.
The joys of working from home.
So, thank you, everyone, not just you two here, but everyone taking time away from... In my head, everyone is playing The Last of Us at the moment. I don't want to assume. I'm sure there's people that aren't and don't care. But, you know, we'll provide a little bit of light in the darkness, is what we try and do here. And
absolutely.
Do you know what? EA did that last night when they showed everyone that Skate is back.
Are you excited by that?
I am.
I know
a lot of people are.
Not be? Well...
I suppose it is a cult thing, isn't it? It's not like a...
I mean, comparing it to the Tony Hawk's games of the previous years, isn't Skate meant to be a little bit more realistic? Because I've never really played either.
It's
to be
a
honest.
Different sort of vibe. Like, it's much more relaxing. Like, it's not for me anyway. It's just like, I mean, it's a shame Joe isn't here today because he's the real, in my head, authority on Skate.
Yeah,
he's obsessed with those games, but. It's a much more relaxing just going around a city skating than, you know, chasing high schools and doing mad 720 muck twists or whatever Tony does in his spare time.
I don't know. I'm pretty sure that's on the limited lunchtime menu at McDonald's right now. Yeah. By the way, have you had a McDonald's since they've reopened?
No, but I don't normally eat McDonald's anyway.
I'm not risking my life for a bit of shitty burger. Like, that's just not on it.
Why is it risking your life?
I'm going out there, yeah, to get some, like, crap little burger and stuff. And there's going to be tons of other people trying to do the same. It's not worth it.
I've had two.
Disgusting.
Wow.
And they've been absolutely delicious. But it's all been from the safety of my car.
Oh,
no,
that's
okay, that's
actually.
Not too bad then. Yeah, see you. Because I don't drive or have a car, I don't have that option.
I didn't have a McTwist, though, going back to Skate 4.
Yeah, well, that's what I was going to say. Like, can you go for a drive-through on a skateboard? Will they serve you?
Hopefully not. It's dangerous.
I did see... I'm going back to talk about McDonald's and drive-through now. Because the queue, probably 20 minutes the first time, 15 minutes the second time, and it's on. It's by a petrol station and by a mini roundabout. And you get all these people that come in the wrong way around the roundabout to try and get in front of you. And so they've got basically McDonald's people policing it. But then also you've got this guy in a massive great lorry. He can't get through there. So they just let him walk up and go and order it inside.
That's so fucked up.
If you want to beat the
system,
queue, be a lorry driver. Top tip.
Thanks, my top tip is play Skate if you haven't played Skate. Because it's just a good time. It's a different vibe to... Tony Hawk. Tony Hawk is more, I'd say, just pure fun, whereas skate is more like skate therapy.
But I'm not missing out on much if I miss skate 1 and 2 and go to skate 3, which seems to be the one that people love the most. I don't think there's a narrative. Yeah, like all the way through.
No, skate 2 is the one, I think, if you could pick one. Okay. But I think skate 3 is available
on backwards compatibility.
Are they all backwards backwards? They might all be, but 3 definitely is.
Yeah, I'm not too sure.
Why is skate 2 the one?
Just the vibes. I've never sounded more like an idiot in my life.
Wow. Post a quote right there.
Yeah.
This game's got the
vibes. I don't know, it's hard. It was just the best one. It's like I'm all out of critical opinion.
It's like Tony Hawk's vibes. Got it.
Skate 3 didn't have the vibes. I'm bored of my own
opinion on games recently. No.
Wow.
Because, you know. But, no. Well, it looked like we weren't having any good skate games for a while, and then this year we've got the Tony Hawk's remasters, which I'm hoping are good.
I mean, they messed up on the previous ones, yeah.
Yeah. I'm hoping they're back to being good, and that'll just be nostalgia more than anything.
Yeah.
We still don't know if this skate is Skate 4 or if it is a remaster or some sort of remix of something.
I saw people talking about perhaps it's actually going to be a mobile game online and stuff.
They would not do that.
No.
If they finished that show
with the mobile,
which, let's face it, it was a pretty tepid show.
Yeah.
And if they that was their big one more thing moment, and it's a mobile version of a game, it's like, oh my god.
They've got a session coming out soon which seems a similar sort of feeling to Skate, which I haven't had a go at yet, but I think that's in what they call it on Xbox, not the early access, but they call it, it's on Xbox,
what, Game Pass?
Their version of early access, in what they call it.
Yeah. This is what's weird.
I've gone
mad. Like, obviously, there hasn't been a skate game in years, and the developer did say, I think, during the stream, like, this game was commented into existence, which makes me wonder, like, you said that Skate was a cult thing, but did it actually sell well? I mean, it got 3 sequels, and then it just, like, it's just kind of weird that just,
you know,
nothing.
I do not know the sales on Skate.
Why not?
It's just, I don't know, yeah.
It's just one of those weird things, like, it's a game that a lot of people apparently wanted, and then EA just kind of, like, left it alone for a long while. Now it's like,
I'm hoping, I'm hoping they get it right, because the last time this happened with this sort of thing was Mirror's Edge, I feel.
What, Catalyst?
Yeah, it's happened a few times, but that one sticks in my mind. Like, for years, everyone's like, Mirror's Edge 2, Mirror's Edge 2.
Mm, yeah.
It came out, and no one really liked it.
Well, yeah. Which, it did that with a Command & Conquer game, right? Like, they announced that's coming back, and it was a mobile version. Which instantly reminded
that's different.
Me.
Yeah, right.
That's true.
I did,
but
this,
next,
I'm
be,
sure.
Yeah, now everyone's got Skate. Game. Everyone will be, if they aren't already, screaming for Titanfall 3, which,
yeah,
you know, fingers crossed that happens, because I'd rather play that than a Fallen Order 2.
Unless more people are going to be playing Titanfall now, because it's on Steam. Isn't that lovely?
Well, lots of games are on Steam now. Yeah. I thought it was a weird decision to start the show with, here's some games that you know are out, and but now they're on Steam.
Yeah.
Well, it's like how Sony started their conference. It was like, the future is GTA 5 for free. Like,
I know, when I saw that Rockstar logo, I was like, oh my god.
Yeah.
And it was like,
no,
oh,
it didn't happen.
Okay.
But yeah, I think we're all in agree. Like, I didn't hate EA's show last night, but it was by no means the strongest I've ever seen.
Yeah.
But there was a few highlights. There was, I think, Lost in Random looks very good. I don't know if you guys caught the trailer for this.
I did. Like, if Tim Burton made a game, basically, right?
Exactly. Yeah. It's by Zoink, the guys who made Faye and Stick It to the Man. I played a bit of that. It's good game. They have that sort of, it's, they kind of go with a different animation style each time, which I appreciate.
Yeah,
they don't just stick with one thing. Like, I wouldn't instantly be able to tell that's them from watching that trailer, but this one, I, Fade didn't quite work for me, and Stick It to the Man I enjoyed a little bit, but I'm hoping this one actually grabs my attention, because it looks like a almost like an old school, like, 3D third person action platformer almost.
And this is another EA original, right? Because so far we've had Unravel and A Way Out, I guess, and just a few others. So they haven't they haven't been all that impressive. But I think Lost in Random probably looks like the best out of the new bunch.
It looks good, yeah.
I think
it's basically the art style is Nightmare Before Christmas.
Yeah, I'm into that. And You mentioned A Way Out. I can't remember what. Did they actually give a name to Joseph Farris's new game?
Yes,
I
they did. The 3 minutes. It Takes Two.
It Takes, that's it.
Yeah.
It kind of looked interesting, but at the same time, it had a VT where he was just kind of saying how good he is for 3 minutes.
Yeah.
From a guy who's made one excellent game in Brothers and then
A Way Out, which is shocking.
Like, a game I do not understand how people enjoy.
It is a weird thing how he's become this, like, almost celebrity, and that, you know, even a publisher as big as EA is giving him this platform to go and be that person. It's like,
yeah,
they're trying to turn him into some sort of like Kojima cult figure or something. Yeah. I don't know what they're doing. Like, he's a man who made one, like, Brothers is one excellent game, and then this the second most famous thing he did is got drunk and swore an award show.
Yeah,
like, we've all really done that.
I think he is more known for his memes outside of any other thing, really.
He's the meme master.
Yeah. I hope It Takes Two is good. It, from what I was getting from that, it reminded me more of Brothers than it did A Way Out, which bodes well. But still, I don't have full faith in him, but I'm hopeful.
What about the sports games, Cardi? You love both Madden and FIFA.
I do love both.
And judging by
really
that trailer,
it's bringing heart
and...
explosions?
Asteroids. Yeah, such a weird trailer.
Not really much to gain from that 2 minute, like, not even giving each game its own trailer, just let's just bung them in one, because we know that most people, like, I get bored when people are like, oh, it's EA Sports time, and they just, because, you know, the same people that go like, oh, it's sports, are the same people that get annoyed when non-games people go, oh, it's a game, so, you know, look at yourself. But
I mean, when I was looking at that montage, I was kind of like, how much can you do when showing off, like, because they always have the same kind of setup when it comes to showing, like, next-gen sports games. It's like, you know, highlight players, they're all kind of sway, and then you just throw it all together, and that's
until
really
until you see the actual gameplay, it's hard to know. And
they
didn't, like, they barely spent, what, barely 2 minutes on both of those games combined, so they'll see, normally Gamescom is the time they go more into FIFA anyway, so we'll find more then, but I'm just hoping this year they've actually changed career mode, because that's the thing that people have been wanting for years now. It's just, like, it used to be the main mode and the one that I played the most, like, 10 years ago in FIFA, and they basically, in about, it feels like about 6 years now, have barely touched it, and it's just...
So did the journey not do it for you?
I enjoyed it in bits. Like, I liked it when it started, but by the third year of it, it was just...
It's a long journey.
So long. It was so long. Like, there wasn't enough story to keep
Lord of the
going
Rings.
That long.
Is that the thing? Are you looking for an actual proper story mode, or just something a bit different?
I want something combined. Like, I feel like MLB The Show, the baseball game, they do it quite well, their career mode. They kind of mix the two. Like, you start off doing, like, your tests and your, like, for each of your attributes, and then you go to the draft and you get drafted by a team, and then you're basically sent out on loan to the minor teams, and you have to work your way up, and you get a little bit of, like, going into the boardroom narrative for your player and stuff, and it's almost like a semi-RPG at that point. I think, like, they do it quite well. I'd like to see FIFA do something a bit more like that, like The Journey, but less scripted, like an episode of EastEnders, and more just choose your own adventure, really. But yeah, we'll see. There was the bizarre bit in the trailer where they cut to there's this voiceover going of obviously people who play FIFA, and one of them is a man with quite a heavy Scouse accent, and they just the first time you hear him is when they cut to Kylian Mbappe, who is a French forward if you don't know him, and it just looks like they were making him say it. It looked bizarre. It's like, why is Mbappe speaking like he's from Liverpool?
Those are one of the few details only you would pick up.
Saw a little glimpse of Tottenham Hotspur Stadium, and I saw Lucas Moura being pushed over, so it wasn't all sunshine and rainbows for me, that trailer.
Right, fair enough.
It was a weird trailer.
And Madden also, Madden is Madden, you know. It will look nicer. It's I do struggle with Madden, how they can make, apart from the things you don't see, like the AI being smarter, it's a harder game to improve on year in year, I think, than FIFA, just because...
Really?
Yeah. I feel like because FIFA is, just as a sport, is so much more moment-to-moment focused, and you have stuff like first touch, and like there's so many more aspects, whereas because it's play based Madden, like I feel like there's less you can tweak on a gameplay level.
Right, okay.
I don't, we're going more into sports.
They should introduce multi-ball or something like that.
Yeah, have mad modes in Madden, that's what I want. Exactly. Bring back NFL Blitz, basically.
I thought it was strange. Again, talking about like early glimpses of stuff. Like, although like the face in Battlefield, whatever that's going to be,
yeah,
felt too early to show that. And the next motive or the other motive project is like, what was that?
It just feels like
don't
they
show
basically
it.
Didn't really like have enough for a show, did they? To be honest,
yeah,
not for a full 45 minutes to an hour anyway. Like, I do wonder how much, if this was normal E3, would they have had more? Because if that was an actual full E3 conference, that would have been slightly embarrassing, I think.
Yeah. It's the thing though, like everyone's working from home, so perhaps the actual, maybe, you know, demos and vertical slices just can't be worked on from the people who are actually working at home, and that's all they have. Like,
there were some
models
big
and stuff.
Things I was expecting to see. Like, I did think we'd finally see the Mass Effect remaster that people have been wanting forever. I thought we would see more of Dragon Age than just a little.
It was like two little scenes, right?
Yeah. And I thought they'd actually go into, because they're redoing Anthem from the ground up, I thought they'd at least talk about what their plans are with that.
Completely forgot about, like, other than the two people who actually still play that game. I forgot it existed.
Yeah. Like, I still have hope that that could be a good game. But yeah, I thought they'd at least maybe touch on that they still own that game.
Yeah, it's very weird. I mean, hopefully it does get the Battlefront 2 treatment that had a rough, super rough launch and then, you know, blossoms into something beautiful.
There was a couple more games they showed, though. Rocket Arena looks a weird one. I can't tell if I like the look of it or if it... It looks a mashup of so many different games. It basically looks like... It's basically got that Fortnite art style, which I don't mind at times, but when everyone seems to be copying it now, I'm a bit bored of it. But it's got Overwatch vibes, obviously, because it's a hero shooter. But then it's also basically plays from what I've watched, like Super Smash Brothers.
Yeah.
Which I'm not big into, so that doesn't lure me in that much.
But I think I've just been turned off from like the whole, you know, 3v3 or 4v4 hero shooter kind of just arena thing, especially like you said, with the whole art style being similar to Overwatch and, you know, Fortnite's just like, I've seen too much of it, and there's already two giants in Overwatch and Fortnite, and as of now, I think trying to push another one out, I can't imagine how well it's actually going
to
do.
It's not done enough for me there to make me think that's going to tear me away from the games I play, like Overwatch, Apex, or Warzone. Like, I've not seen anything there that makes me feel that's going to take time away from those.
Yeah,
I think that's fair. But the game that I did think that looked good.
Exactly. The game
Squadrons.
I think... Star Wars Squadrons, I think, is a game that we will spend a lot of time playing when it comes out.
Hopefully.
They showed the cinematic earlier in the week, and that looked good. But I definitely think that the gameplay backed it up.
No, 100%.
And as you say, like, as a 5v5, as somebody who plays Rainbow Six a fair bit, I can easily see this taking over our lunch times.
100%.
Although I think we'll argue over who has what ship and does what role.
I don't know. I feel like we'll be... What are you thinking?
You said this morning, Cardi, A-Wing. I need A-Wing. And TIE Interceptor.
I've always loved the A-Wing there. We have two A-Wings, there's five.
Yeah, that's true. You can get a little fast boy. I mean, someone always has to be support, so that's going to be me.
X-Wing's a bit boring. I like the X-Wing, but it's a
classic,
bit boring.
Isn't it, though? But then again, TIE Fighters do just sound so much better than Rebel ship.
The Empire faction always just looks overall cooler than the Rebellion. I think that's fairly standard, to be fair.
But I'm assuming you have loadouts for both, or do you so if you don't know what this game is, there's a campaign, a single player campaign where you play as pilots on both sides of the war, so it's set just after Return of the Jedi.
Yeah.
And no idea how long the story is yet. I'm guessing it's not overly long.
$40
Yeah, it's a £35 game here, I think.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but it's the multiplayer that really looks fun, especially the fleet battle mode, which they've called their flagship mode, which is a multi-stage multiplayer it's online, but you can also play against AI, which also did sound quite good, because my favourite bits of all Star Wars games are the Starfighter sections.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. And Starfighter's
the
thing
I wondered. Oh, sorry,
go ahead,
the one thing I wondered about that mode, because obviously, so you start off in a dogfight in the center of the, the battlefield or whatever.
Yeah.
Whoever pushes that team back then goes to take on some of their sort of frigate ships, and then if they push them back again, it's onto the kind of the lead cruiser or whatever. If you if you're defending on the second round and you win, do you push it back to the central dogfight area?
That's what I haven't worked out. Yeah.
So you can swing it all the way, as it were, or is it?
I don't know. Yeah. You win, is it like a tug of war, or do you stop them there? I'm not really sure, but either way, I'm into
cool.
it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the fact you like the level of customization they showed as well, like. A, your pilot, which you'll never—it's all first person, so you'll never really see. But I am going to be a Solostan. I am going to become Niamnum because he is.
You've got
my
big love for that
favorite.
Guy. Yeah,
I've always loved him.
If you put your name in, it says, "Sorry, that name's already taken." That would be amazing. Or if you try Luke Skywalker, it's like, nope.
I'll just be Niamnum 2.
Really? Very 69. Come on, that's what you'll be.
I am not that crude.
How do you guys actually feel about it only being first person? Because I don't know how much Battlefront 2 or Battlefront 1 you ever played, but obviously you can switch between. And I feel like just having it in first person might take away people who are actually interested in it.
I do normally do prefer being third person, so I'm interested. But I don't know. I'm... feel like they've mainly done that because also it is fully playable in VR. Which
yeah, that's true.
I do want to give a proper go to, but I'm also wary of how long I could sit in that seat without wanting to throw up.
Yeah, doing like those hardcore maneuvers, like drifting in your X-Wing in VR and stuff. It's going to be pretty hardcore.
In a TIE Fighter as well, yeah. Like some of the maneuvers they did in the TIE Fighter look pretty insane.
Yeah.
But also, with the TIE Fighter, you've mainly got just the front opening to look out of. It's not like you can track an enemy coming up and over above you.
Yeah, that's true. Mm-hmm.
Can you imagine coming out of hyperspace and not feeling any jarring on your back? It's just going to be like,
it's going to be so good. And they actually seem to, you know, putting in full effort in terms of, you know, you have VR and like the previous Star Wars space games, like they're going all out when it comes to like controller support as well. Like actually being able to have like a full flight sim kind of experience in Star Wars, like that seems like a dream.
Exactly. If I can sit in a Starfighter with Star Wars music playing, hearing TIE Fighters, I'm going to be happy for at least a good few hours.
Well, that's like the VR demo that came with, that was the first Battlefront, right?
Yeah, it was the Rogue One update.
Yeah, like so a full version game of that, well up for that. Yes, please. Yeah,
absolutely. It's kind of interesting though, because I was reading an article from an interview at Game Informer, and I think one of the game directors said that they're not building this game as a live service strategy, and Battlefront 2 is an example where it was. And, you know, that had countless updates. And I'm wondering, you know, for the price point, is this just going to be a kind of one-done kind of game? Just have the 6 maps and potentially
that's
it? I feel
like they'll update it. I feel like they'll update it over time. Have they confirmed yet it's next-gen? It would be silly if it wasn't at this point.
Yeah, I mean, like, those consoles are probably just going to be backwards compatible anyway. So you're going to be able to slap in, you know, the disc most likely or whatever. So,
But I can't believe they won't turn down the chance to add, like, the B-Wing isn't in the game. I can't believe they won't add a couple
That's
more
what I'm wondering, though, because for the price point and them not saying they're not building it as a live service kind of makes me wonder, like, what is
that? They've already said absolutely no microtransactions, which is...
Yeah, that's refreshing.
Great.
But really, that's what you'd hope to expect in a game like this, really.
But which Star Wars race are you going to pick to be?
Transjodian. That's Bosk.
Big Bosk. So.
Big Bosk.
is that his name? That's what he's going to be.
I'm not sure if the Empire is...
He's going to be a boring human.
I don't know how open the Empire are. I feel like, you know, they're basically the pricks of the galaxy. So are they allowing anyone really into
the
Empire?
Can you be a bad... Are there any Wookiees?
I think so, but I didn't actually see any, like, you know, aliens on the Empire side. But the problem is they have the coolest looking ships, so I'm torn.
There was one with a helmet on, so you never know. That's true. Can robots or androids be pilots?
Presumably, you know, you had like R2 and stuff. You could take control of like starfighters and shit.
That is true. If you pick an X-Wing, can you have an R2 unit with you? Because that should
surely,
tip the balance. 100%.
100%.
Same with the Y-Wing. See, I quite fancy a Y-Wing as well.
It's a chunky boy. Those designs.
Absolutely.
Got those bombs though, haven't you? Yeah, I think it's safe to say we are looking forward to that game a lot. 2nd of October, I think.
Yeah, it's not even that far away, which is really exciting.
Yeah, it's refreshing.
The speed at which this year is going as well, it'll feel like next week.
Yeah, that is one of those games, if you gave it to me tomorrow, I would play it a lot. at the moment, I need a game like that.
Yeah, well, if you hadn't have already finished Last of Us, boo-hoo.
Sorry. Some of us have to do work.
You know what, you mentioned The Last of Us, and it's currently running in the background, and my PlayStation fan is going absolutely mad. So I'm just going to turn my PlayStation off, because I'm just going to do that real quick.
Okay, you do that while I ask Al all about Lego Super Mario.
So we got a bunch of sets, and I played around with them myself, and I also played around them with my kids. And at first, I kind of wasn't convinced, because I was just basically normal Lego fused with Nintendo's themes. And actually, what I probably really wanted was just some really cool display Lego that would just sit there on the shelf, and like a little Mario minifigure. Yes, please. That'd be amazing. But actually, having played it a lot more and with my kids, because let's face it, it is aimed at 6-year-olds. I think it's basically 6 to 10-year-olds, basically. And then you sort of play it more like a board game, because that's effectively what it is. It's a lot of fun. Like when I was building my levels, because basically you get your starter kit that's got a warp pipe as the start and then a finish flag as the end. And then whatever you do in the middle is kind of up to you. You get core components, like the power-up block and obstacles and things like that. But you can order them in any way you want. And they do things that the game doesn't really kind of explain at first. And so the objective is to score as many coins, or get as many coins as you can, within 60 seconds. But if Mario touches lava, he can lose coins, or he can't collect coins during that 3-second period.
It looks like he becomes possessed when he gets touched by fire.
He is very terrified. You guys have seen the video.
Yeah. But there's loads of things like that. So, like, when you're on some of the spinny things, I can't remember what they're called.
Platforms.
If you go, like, in one way, you'll earn 5 coins, and then you'll stop earning coins because it stops you from spamming it. But actually, if you turn it back the other way, then you get more. So there's little tricks like that. And then he's got different suits. So if you've got the cat suit, if you run him up a wall, you'll earn coins.
I love a cat suit curry.
Jesus Christ.
Such low effort jokes.
Like some of the other suits, you can fly him around the level, again, to score points. But again, it's all capped out, so you don't just, you know, run around and do the most you can. Like the weird thing is you have to have a sense of
imagination and play.
Well, yes, because basically, as an adult, you'll just go in and go, well, there's the start, there's the finish. I'll just won't follow the level.
Yeah.
I'll hammer every single coin thing I can. And then 1 second before the timer runs out, I'll just touch out. So, you know, you can play it like that, but you're a bit of a prick if you play it like that.
I just feel like it's not, basically, it's not for me.
No.
It is very much for children.
I think there will be some people that will buy it, realise it's not for them, but actually it still looks quite nice. Like some of the bigger sets, that, like Toad's Adventure or whatever that set's called, that looks quite pretty as a backdrop.
Yeah.
But I think a lot of people will probably buy it, play it a few times and have it on display, whereas kids, if you experiment with the levels, because like rather than just like going, like running left to right, that's the sort of map I would build, because I've grown up with Mario. Like, you can stack stuff on top of each other and do whatever you want, because it's Lego. That's the whole point. So I think once it gets out to the public and we see more experimentation, I think it'll have quite a good community behind it, because it's all linked together through apps. Like, you can share your world designs.
Yeah.
Obviously, you can't build them. Well, you can build them, but you only get like a top-down view of the map rather than like, here's the instructions to build this thing. But it's basically core components which you link together by individual bricks.
And considering Mario has that little sensor at the bottom, like, I can imagine people are probably going to mix and match other Lego sets, because when you put them on a table, it'll recognize that, like, you know, if it looks like fucking sand, then it's going to be in sand or whatever. Like, I feel like people are just going to mess around with everything.
Yeah.
Take him to the beach, throw Mario in the sea.
Don't do that. You'll definitely
like
break.
The only thing, break him. It's got specific tiles that do certain things. So, like, there's a conversation tile that Toad has got. So, if you hit that, then he'll say hi to Toad and get an extra coin for saying hi. Mm. And then the enemies have got different tiles on their back. So, when you knock them over and you stomp them, you get more coins. So, you know, there's kind of, I think depth is not perhaps the right word, but there's different ways to play, I guess.
So you can build a level on a Star Destroyer if you want to.
But you could do, but he wouldn't interact with it whatsoever.
Yeah.
Because, like, from my brief time of the game, he recognises green, red, yellow, and blue for grass, lava,
water, and sand.
Water and sand.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Grey, concrete, I don't know.
But you could do it if you wanted Mario. To.
Yeah. I'd be interested to see if there's some way, somehow, someone mods it, can mod Lego Mario. So, like, I don't know, he responds to oranges. I don't know.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Cheese and gets stuck in it. I don't know.
When people do mad shit, they're going to take him apart. They're going to kill Mario.
Absolutely. So is it getting Alex Simmons' thumbs up recommendation for Christmas stocking filler?
A family Simmons thumbs up.
There we go.
Because, like I say, because it's like my kids really enjoyed it. Probably more than I did.
Yeah.
But, like I say, I'm hoping that this is the start of a new relationship with Nintendo, and next time we see Zelda stuff, yes, please.
That would be very exciting.
That would be good, actually. Yeah. When is it actually out?
1st of August.
Oh, still a little while away. Yep. I thought it was soon.
Yeah.
There you go. Something that isn't out also, Jesse, you've played a little bit of Surgeon Simulator.
I certainly have.
2.
Yeah, exactly. And you know what? It's changed a fair amount. Since the actual release of the first game. No longer you just taken control of like a single arm. Now you're doing it with
two arms.
I know, it's crazy.
In Surgeon Simulator 3 arms.
But now it's a full co-op experience, and you're actually able to move around, solve like, you know, light puzzles while still trying to pull off those, you know, crazy precise movements and not try and kill the person you're working on. But honestly,
that's probably a good thing to do if you're a surgeon.
Yeah,
I only
absolutely.
Very briefly played the first one. Like, I got it. It was silly fun. Is it any better an actual game?
I think, considering, like, I don't know how I'd feel just playing it by myself, because a lot of the levels, they really do feel like they need to be populated by three other people. And from what I remember, you can play it just by yourself, but it really... The chaos of having a bunch of other people like rip off, you know, limbs everywhere and try and attach them and like solving these little puzzles in the levels. Like, I feel like it needs those extra three players to bring that chaos together and stuff. But it was honestly just really, really fun. Like trying to pull off those, you know, little precise movements and using a hammer to smash someone's ribs together to rip out their heart. It's just good, violent fun as well.
I really like it. What were the problems these people had? What did you...
One of them
had a common cold.
You know what? Most of the time, it was a gammy leg, or like, you know, they had a dodgy heart and stuff. But what's fun is you can rip off, and the guy who you're always operating on is called Bob. Yeah, and the good thing is, if he's got a gammy leg, you can just replace his leg with an arm if you want and build an absolute monster. So honestly,
is that how you win the game?
No, probably not. But just visually as a gag, it's pretty fun. It's pretty funny, to be honest.
You sound ill.
It's just good violent fun, man. But I think what's important as well, that including a level builder as well. So much like, you know, Super Lego Mario, they expect the community to build their own operating theaters and levels and stuff to, you know, keep that player base going.
Lazy.
Which is quite nice.
Are you about to mod? Was there a mod scene for the first game where like people modding, like, I don't know, Yoda as one of the bodies you have to amputate?
I can't remember, but there was like an alien DLC and then also like I think a Trump DLC as well, from what I remember. But aside from that, like, just they're putting in a lot more effort not to just make it a bit of a meme game like the original was, because the original was like, you know, tons of YouTubers jumped on it and, you know, it was like, it was nice, silly and fun. But this, they're actually making it out to be, you know, it's a co-op experience. Yeah. It's got a campaign. It's got puzzles. Obviously, surgery. Duh. And just the level builder as well.
Can I replace Yoda's eyes with his kidneys?
I'm not sure you can take people's eyes off, but you can certainly replace their head and attach it to the arm socket if you want. So that's
good. Okay, we'll do that. Yeah. That's what Yoda's getting. I don't know why I'm just obsessed with chopping up Yoda at the moment. I don't
disgusting.
Know. It's one of those phases you go through in life, isn't it? If you could send in to IGN_UK feedback, if you could perform surgery on any fictional character and remove body part, what would it be?
I'm pleased you said fictional.
Yeah.
So let's highlight
fictional.
That.
Yeah, yes. Fictional. And what body part from another fictional character would you replace it with?
Kind of Frankenstein's monster would you create?
Exactly. You've played another game,
great segue as always.
Is this nuts as well?
Yeah. You know what? It is actually pretty interesting. Have you ever wanted to be just in complete debt as soon as you start a game in the rough ballpark of the £9,900 million?
Because I've played Animal Crossing, mate.
Oh, you know what? That is true, actually. You got me there. So the game we're talking about is Hard Space Shipbreaker, and it went into alpha pretty recently. Shipbreaker, not Shipbreaker.
Okay.
Jesus sure. Christ.
The Constipation Simulator. Yeah.
Essentially, you are salvaging spaceships in space, unsurprisingly, and you start the game working off like this mega corporation. And if you've ever played, you know, around with a Rubik's Cube, imagine that, but it's a spaceship and you could potentially die. So it is actually... I mean,
that's a lot to try and imagine.
I was going
to
say, hang on, you've gone from like playing around with the Rubik's Cube to...
No, it's because...
What's that connection?
Essentially, the spaceships, they're all essentially different puzzles, right? And as you're trying to take them apart, much like a Rubik's Cube, you're trying to piece that together.
Take apart a Rubik's Cube.
It's the complete opposite.
You've been doing it wrong the whole time.
what I'm trying to say is that it's much like a puzzle, except you can die this time. Okay.
So nothing to do with
there's
the Rubik's
puzzle
Cube.
Levels.
The Rubik's Cube came into mind, okay?
Okay.
But it is quite interesting because, like, as you're trying to take apart these spaceships, you're not just, you know, pulling them apart and it's all easy peasy. You have to watch out for depressurization or, like, fuel leaks and stuff. So you might do a specific cut on the spaceship only for it to depressurize the entire thing, and then you might end up dying. Or as you're trying to, like... you know, manage the fuel sections of the spaceship. You have to, like, put your hand against the feel if the fuel's actually going along the spaceship still.
Got
and stuff.
A little bit of FTL to it. Did you ever play FTL?
Yeah, I mean, in a little bit in the sense of, like, there are a bunch of different spaceships you can work on and stuff. And as you're salvaging them, you know, you're getting cash and you're going through the upgrade path and stuff, you know, getting different tools, making it easier to do your job. But it is a bit scary as you're, you know, approaching a new spaceship for the first time. And you accidentally, you know, take apart the hull, and then all of a sudden the pressure goes out of whack, and then the reactor might blow up, causing you to actually lose all your salvage. Because a big part of the game is actually paying off the debt. So if you do the salvage wrong, you're not going to get paid, okay. Essentially.
And is this all like first person actual? Like,
yeah, it's first person, and you know, you're traversing through space. You can go all dimensions of space in terms of traversal. But it's just... It's surprisingly difficult taking apart a spaceship. Who would have thought?
How big are these ships?
I mean, you got little ones, but then you got, like, you know, the kind of like big chunky like cruisers, essentially. So
not like Star Destroyers. You don't have to fix a whole Star Destroyer.
No, that'll be a bit too much really for the player.
One man job. Yeah. No. Although they did seem to build about 500,000 of them in Rise of Skywalker.
Yeah, that was concerning.
We won't go back to that. But yeah, would you... This game, is that out now?
It's out in alpha, I think. I don't know if it's gotten... I don't know if it's been released in early access outside of PC. But if you're into a somewhat relaxing game where, you know, you can just pop on a podcast and do a little bit of salvaging without hopefully not dying, I think it's worth checking out.
Okay, cool. That is a slight thumbs up there.
Yeah.
So yeah, I might check it out. It's PC only, though, isn't it?
As far as I recall, yes.
I won't check it out then. Cool. Do you know what isn't PC only? The Endless Search.
Oh. Inside is the UK IGN crew. Yeah, and the ones and twos. We got the games gonna play for you. Inside, I got a question for you. Hold tight, the DJ, we coming through. Yeah, and the ones and twos. We got the games gonna play for you. Inside, I got a question for you. Is it in the search?
Al, you've got a game for us.
I do have a game.
Is it a Rubik's Cube?
Created it. No, that's a puzzle, not a game. Come on.
What?
This game is called Tip of the Trophy, and it was sent in by The Prince, long-term listener, The Prince.
Prince.
Royalty.
Well, Prince Yabur. Now, nice. Basically, it is, you know when you score, you get a trophy.
Oh, sorry, I've just got to pause this. Oh. Breaking news, Sir Ian Holm has died, Bilbo Baggins has died.
What?
Oh my God.
Breaking news that I thought the podcast listeners would appreciate our instant reaction to. of course, also in Alien.
We even spoke about Lord of the Rings earlier and A Long Journey.
I know.
And the long journey comes to an end. That is sad.
There we go. Live reactions there. So that is why you check Twitter while someone reads out an email, because you see breaking news like Bilbo Baggins.
I'm so pleased you were looking at Twitter while I was trying to explain what this game is. Thanks.
Oh, I know what it is. But yeah, there we go.
So
please continue.
When you get a trophy, you get a little kind of descriptor or thingy pop up. And the point of this game is you need to tell me what game it is from those descriptors.
Okay.
Going from hard to easier. But to be honest, having looked through them, I think these are quite hard.
Ooh.
Now, there's 10 descriptors for each game, 5 games. Obviously, if you get it on the first descriptor, you get 10 points. Get it on the second, 9 points, etc.
Okay.
Understand?
Yep.
So these are all trophies. That mean they're all PlayStation games, or are they achievements in general? Do we know?
Let me just have a quick look.
Also, are we talking like PlayStation 4 to Xbox One era?
Oh, previous. Just tell me the blooming games, all right?
Well, trophy started with PS3.
These are all on PlayStation.
Okay, cool.
Brilliant.
They may be
so
on other
PS3
consoles
or
too.
PS4 or Vita.
Vita would be very unfair.
Right. You ready?
Yes.
Okay. Game 1. For 10 points. Big Brother.
Big Brother. BioShock?
Nope.
BioShock Infinite?
Nope. It's not BioShock none of the 2. BioShock games. You're not going to get it.
Because there's Little Sisters. I thought there was one for like getting all of them or something called Big Brother.
Second clue.
It's an educated guess.
Just Say No.
Just Say No. These are, for some reason, ringing a bell with me, and I don't know why.
Okay. Third clue. Bweep, bweep, bweep.
Wait. What? Can you spell that?
B-W-E-E-P exclamation mark 3 times.
Right.
Bweep. Is it Titanfall 2?
Nope.
But Brothers, A Tale of Two Sons?
Nope. Like I said, these are hard.
Yeah, carry on.
Next one. Colouring Inside the Lines. Spelt in the American way of spelling colouring.
Why are these ringing a bell with me? I don't know why.
See, I'm not an achievement hunter, so I'm inside. Terrible. What?
I'm not really.
Yeah.
Next one?
Inside. Yes.
Yeah, carry on.
Total Carnage. Car being capitalised.
Total Carnage.
That's the clue. That's not the game.
GTA 5?
Nope. Honestly, I don't think you're going to get it.
Wait, which achievement is this now? What number are we on?
We're halfway through.
Okay, cool. I'm not getting it now.
Carnage.
I would say the next one is the biggest clue towards it.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
So for 5 points, Enjoy Your Powers.
Enjoy Your Powers. Infamous Second Son?
Oh!
Shit. See, that's a game I have never played.
I do actually have that platinum. Oh, so right. That's one of my 15 platinums. Well,
there you go. That's why your mind was working a bit harder
lucky.
There.
I knew they rung a bell for some reason.
Sorry for my overexcited all there. I didn't expect anybody to get that.
Oh, shit.
Fair play. 5 points to you, Cardi. The other ones would have been Double Smokestack Attack, which sounds like a nice burger, Make Fetch Proud, True Hero, and Shard Core.
I definitely would have got it on the last 3.
Okay.
Shit.
All right. Game number 2.
Yes.
For 10 points. I believe I can fly.
Just Cause.
You can't sing that anymore.
Why?
R. Kelly, mate. Come on.
Oh, sorry.
Oh.
I believe I can fly.
You're really quick at bringing down the entire podcast of this news.
Batman Arkham Asylum.
No.
Spider-Man.
No.
We're going a certain theme here.
Yeah, I'm not sure it's
Red Dead Redemption.
What?
You won't There's go- the one where the guy wants to build wings. I thought it was maybe linked to that.
I just want to confirm it's not Just Cause, right?
No. Okay. Next clue. Not Too Shabby.
Not Too Shabby.
Star Wars so Battlefront?
Creed 2.
No.
Shit. I swear that's a line that Han Solo says.
Probably does. Lego Star Wars.
Nope. Next clue. Doing Daddy Proud.
Bioshock.
Nope. Yes. Doing Daddy Proud.
There is
proud.
No Bioshocks in any of these answers.
Right, okay.
Doing Daddy Proud.
What game do you play as a father?
Dad.
Heavy Rain.
just myself just going, Daddy.
For 7 points, Slick Moves.
I want to think Borderlands.
Got Slick Moves. Nope.
Slick.
And cool combos and stuff like that.
Batman Arkham Knight.
No.
Batman Arkham City.
Right, so we're starting to get, well, not necessarily this is easier, but the one after this I think is
okay.
A clue.
Okay.
For 6 points, Unarmed and Dangerous.
Devil May Cry.
Which
five.
One? Five. Oh, he's
you,
got
I'll
it.
Let you keep guessing. I'll let, yeah.
There we go.
Fair play. 6 points to Jesse Gomez. the other ones ooh, were, the easier one would have been Dance with the Devil.
Right, that would have probably been a big clue.
Would have made it easier. Stairway to Heaven, Where the Red Orbs Grow, Jackpot, and Dante the Gambler.
Oh, that would have been...
I wouldn't have got that till the last one, I think.
Fair enough.
Okay. Right. I can't imagine anyone's going to get this. But anyway. Oh,
we'll a lot of faith in us.
Wait, but I good. Thought that for the last two. So, yeah. So, for 10 points, game three. Off to a good start.
Wait,
that's every game. Yeah. That's every
is that your answer?
Hope,
every
anyway.
Game.
Red Dead Redemption.
That would.
Nope.
I was going to go GTA 5.
No.
We're trying to think what game starts out like you know nice.
You can
and
have
lovely.
One more guess each.
I'm going to go random game. Ratchet and Clank.
Nope.
I'm not guessing it.
All right, for 9 points, Booyah, Grandma.
Can't hear Booyah, that thing of Justice League.
Jesus, don't remind me of that.
Grandma. Well, Infamous Second Son has a grandma, isn't it?
It's not the same game. That would be weird. For 8 points, The New Time Master.
I feel like that's a clue. What game has time?
Grandmas.
Like, Time Master.
So, off to a good start. Booyah, Grandma, and The New Time Master.
I don't...
Nope. Don't know.
No.
The next clue for 7 points. Ooh, shiny.
Oh, my God.
This is hard.
Shiny.
I mean, that's just a collectible, yeah. Isn't it? That's just... Yeah.
Like, Lego Star
six
Wars.
Nope.
Oh, shit.
6 points. Kazmoxian Slug.
Oh.
Crash Team Racing.
Why do I know that?
Which one?
Crash Bandicoot Insane Trilogy.
fucking Nitro
oh,
Refueled.
Nitro Refueled?
Well, Jesse got it first.
Okay.
No. Thank God.
Crash Team Racing Nitro Refueled.
Oh,
for it's... another 6 points.
You know.
Fair play.
I got worried.
I would never have got that.
What grandma is in
this is why I
crash?
Don't like playing. I don't know. This is why I don't like playing games. It puts me on edge. I'd much rather just read it out. I'm two games it. Left. Ooh, currently, Cardi, you're on 5 points. Jesse, you're on 12.
Wow. 12.
I feel like I need both of these. It's hard to get one.
Alrighty. Game four for 10 points. Puzzle Master.
The Witness.
No.
Oh. So you probably have better luck.
That would have been too easy.
Wait, what was the name? Puzzle Master.
Ooh, is it Puzzle Persona Master. 5 Royal?
Nope.
Oh, I thought that was the crossword one.
That'll be unfair. A DLC specific fucking trophy.
It's not DLC, mate.
Next
it's
one?
A full game.
Yes.
For 9 points, Natural Talent.
Puzzle Master. I mean, that's it's pretty vague, isn't it?
Natural Talent.
don't know. Can you just get a trophy for being yourself?
It's probably just being the best at something, right? Like you're that good.
No?
Spider-Man.
Nope.
All right. It's not natural talent, is he? He got bitten.
Yeah, that's
it's
true.
Completely unnatural. That's
Jesus.
Next one for 8 points. Sharpshooter.
Overwatch?
Nope.
Titanfall 2.
Nope.
Sharpshooter.
Sharpshooter.
Battlefront.
Uncharted 4?
Nope. Last one more guess each. Nope.
I'm not getting it.
All right. 7 points. Comfort zone.
Siege?
Nope.
I feel like I know this trophy list.
I think you would.
FIFA.
Oh!
20.
Which one? Is it FIFA?
He did! 20. He's got it!
Do you know what?
You gave the hint that he would know it.
On natural talent, I was going to say FIFA. I was like, they would never put FIFA in it.
Well, they did. And Gomez has got another 7 points.
I feel accomplished.
Well done.
Still safe face.
So, yes, Simon, you cannot win, unfortunately, but you can come close if you get all 10 points on this fifth game, which is possible, because anything's possible.
Anything
in the game
in life.
Of Tip of the Trophy. So for 10 points, game 5.
I'm going to put out there, actually, and just say I like this game.
Same.
It's good. I must admit, well, just don't let me play games. That's basically the lesson of this. Because I just sit here going, So anyway, game 5. For 10 points, the friend zone.
Persona 5?
Nope.
Borderlands 2.
Persona 4. Golden.
Sorry, you spoke over each other. I missed that.
I said Persona 4. Golden.
No. Jesse's just given up because he knows he's won.
Well, no, I'm trying to think of, like, the game. It's not Borderlands, is it?
Catherine.
Nope. 9 points?
Yes, please.
Carry on, yeah.
Escort Duty.
Oh, I feel like I know this.
Uncharted 2?
Nope.
Uncharted 3, Uncharted 4?
Nope.
Assassin's Creed 2?
Nope.
Is it an Assassin's?
Nope.
Okay.
I remember seeing this trophy.
Escort GTA 5?
Nope.
GTA 4?
Nope, none of the GTAs.
Oh my god. Red Dead 2.
No Rockstar games. Goodness me. Right.
Escorts, what I mean.
Okay. Next one?
Yes, please.
For 7 points. Oh no, hang on.
What?
For 8 points, sorry, I missed one. Anger Management.
Max Payne 3?
Nope.
Oh, that's a good shout.
I think so far the best clue has been Escort Duty.
I so remember.
But I don't know what sort of escort we're referring
to. I don't know what sort of escort you're thinking about.
I don't know if it's like a double, like...
Like I say, I think that's the best clue.
Yeah, but...
All right. For 7 points, the path is closed.
It's not Resident Evil 4, is it?
It is not Resident Evil 4.
What a famous... It's not an Assassin's.
Nope. The path... Shall I go through them again, just in case?
Yes.
The friend zone, escort duty, anger management, and the path is closed. Nope. Mm. Right, now this next clue, there is a way I can say it that will absolutely give the game away.
Is it The Last of Us?
Nope.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a good shot.
I'm not going to say it like that. I'm just going to say it really plainly.
Okay.
Whoa there.
It's not Red Dead.
Nope. It's not Red Dead.
Oh, I can't think of any fucking characters. Siege?
Nope.
Oh,
there's going to be some kicking.
Oh, it's Overwatch.
It is Overwatch.
I would. There's no way I would have got
that. I was thinking of like escort missions, not the actual game.
That's
hard.
Jeez.
Yeah. If I hadn't got FIFA and Overwatch, that would just be the end of it.
There you go.
Jesus.
So, final scores on the doors. 19 points to Jesse, 11 points to Simon.
That was a very, very fun game.
It was a good
game.
Thank you, Prince.
Yeah, thank
fun.
You.
Fun.
Right.
Feedback?
No, I think we've got feedback.
Cardi.
Yes, I've got one from Jamie Havard, who says, "Hey, guys."
Hey.
Oh, hello.
There we go.
Is that what you're waiting for? Okay.
Big fan of the podcast, and as it's my first time writing in, I'll leave out the compliments so I don't invoke the wrath of Joe. It's fine, he's not here. We'll take all of them. We love being told we're nice. Not that Joe isn't nice, but you know. Regarding the recent PS5 reveal, I, along with many others, I expect, was drawn in by the trailer for Pragmata, purely because the trailer gives such little information, but still managed to leave a big impact. In case you don't remember, that's the mad trailer where the girl is in some sort of post-apocalyptic city and a spaceman comes down and sends her to the moon.
Yes. That was at the
end,
right?
It looks like a Kojima game, but it wasn't. Yeah. No idea what it was, but yeah, intrigued. Jamie carries on and says, which leads me to my question. How much information do you believe is the perfect amount to have in a trailer? Should developers risk giving us little information about the game and leave us with an air of mystery? Or provide us with ample information to help build up hype for their game? It's an interesting question. Mm. I do like a mysterious trailer, especially for when it's in Pragmata's case and it's the first time you've seen something and it's still a couple of years away. And yeah, I don't mind a mysterious trailer just to leave thinking, what the hell was that?
Yeah.
If you then carry that on for a year and don't reveal any gameplay, I'll start to get annoyed. Like, I understand why Death Stranding did it, but there was about 6 trailers before we knew anything about what the hell that game was. Like, I enjoyed the first one or two being confused, but at some point I was like, okay, I need to know what this is now.
I think it also depends on what kind of game it is, because imagine if FIFA did a mysterious trailer. there was no ball. I quite like the PlayStation reveal, because they always go from, well, PlayStation as a whole, whenever they do their E3 conferences, they go from something that's fairly standard and easy to understand to kind of the obscure. And I like that, rather than, like, sometimes when you see Xbox presentations, it's just the same kind of stuff over and over again.
Yeah.
And I like to see that experimentation.
Yeah, I quite enjoyed how Squadrons did it this week. Like, a few days ago, we got a cool CGI trailer, but then we knew that 3 days later we'd be getting actual gameplay, and I like that sort of double hit.
Yeah.
Well, like, they tried that with Valhalla, right? But then they said that the second thing was going to be a gameplay trailer, and actually
wasn't exactly.
There was hardly any gameplay. Less,
it was even less than the first trailer, which was quite boggling, actually. I like mystery, especially, like we said, if the game lends mystery towards it.
I think it can get a little bit irritating when, like, the hype train is just mystery and that's it until release, though, which is basically what Death Stranding was.
I just think not too many trailers. Like, I remember the days when you'd maybe get one trailer for something, then maybe a launch trailer, and then you get it. Nowadays, there seems to be about 9 or 10 teaser trailers for different games. It's like different snippets, like, oh, is there a new show? And then I'm like, can we just stop releasing trailers every week for the same thing?
I wonder how many Last of Us trailers we've had. It feels like there have been a lot.
There's been a few, and a lot of them have had no new footage, and it's just recut.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it gets a little tiresome. I also am a sucker for trailers, so especially film trailers.
There you go. Next piece of feedback is from Tommy Palmer, who writes in saying, like many people, I had grand ambitions of using lockdown to find a new hobby or learn a new skill, like baking bread, learning game development, or music production. Instead, I've spent my lockdown drinking craft beer and playing games. Well, I've definitely spent my lockdown drinking craft beer too. So perhaps subconsciously inspired by the hilarious drowning stories, I decided to pick up Subnautica on PS4. The hilarious drowning stories.
we need to get around to those.
I really enjoyed it, even with frame rate drops and whole sections of underwater reefs missing textures and geometry. After 40 hours in, so you must have enjoyed it quite a lot, I unlocked lots of stuff and made it deep into the underwater alien world. I couldn't figure out what to do next and started to get reckless, and just before trying something risky, I saved the game only for it to crash.
Oh, no.
When I loaded it back up, I saw every gamer's nightmare. Sorry. Thanks to PS4's rest mode, I hadn't saved it for 3 weeks. And
I don't think that's thanks to the rest mode.
No, I don't.
I think you should be safe.
I stared at the screen for a few minutes thinking about how much shit I had to grind again, and I couldn't face it. I've now given up and instead read a story summary online. Have you boys ever given up the game due to an unfortunate crash, loss, or save, or did you persevere and work your way back to where you were? I have. Far Cry 5, I think I put 8 to 10 hours in.
Yeah.
And then it got to, like, it was well documented that that game had a lot of bugs around launch anyway.
Mm.
And I got to a point where it wouldn't trigger the next mission, and it had to, you had to play that mission in order to unlock the next bit.
Right.
And I just thought, I haven't got enough time to do 8 to 10 hours.
It's just not worth it.
So I wasn't enjoying it that much. The five for me, I love Far Cry. 3 and 4 were brilliant. I found the setting and the environment of 5 just a bit dull.
Yeah.
So
mm-hmm.
I didn't go back.
I've been quite lucky with saves. I can't remember a big one where I've been like devastated. I'm sure when I was younger, there were days. I think one of my memory cards might have broken once, but I never remember it being absolutely devastating.
Yeah, would the equivalent be back in the day, like the disc getting too scratched and stuff? Because I feel like there's more of a better chance of that happening back then than it is now, because that would be tragic. I think the only game that's ever happened to me was Mafia 3, but even then I was only 4 hours in, and then a particular NPC wouldn't spawn. And at that point I was like, I'm done. Like, can't even finish a mission. And had the same issue with the definitive re-release as well. So no matter what version I play, I can't play Mafia 3. So
you're not missing out that much.
Yeah.
It's a good story, but is it a good game? A debate for another day.
Exactly.
And now we have Alex Fisher. He says, hey guys, your recent accidental mention of 40 days and 40 nights reminded me of a story from uni days. One year, our group of friends decided to give up stuff for Lent to test our willpower. Some gave up TV, a couple of people did the 40 days thing and gave up sex and masturbation. Well, I chose to give up video games. Around week 4, a heated discussion broke out, and one of my celibate friends threatened to come round to my house and play video games all day, to which I responded, that's fine, I'll just go and have a wank on your bed. Tensions.
What a trade-off.
Tensions diffused, and we all finished the 40 days and were very pleased with ourselves. Except I was lying. During the 40 days I'd been playing games. Just one, in fact, Zelda 2. I was fairly pleased with myself, completing it without the help of save states or the rewind feature that re-releases tend to love these days. The problem was I couldn't brag about it all the time without revealing my deception. Damn and blast. Have you guys ever given up stuff for Lent or find yourself unable to brag about something because it would reveal a lie? That's really...
I've never personally done Lent.
Yeah.
I stopped drinking for the whole of January and February.
Mm.
Yeah, but I just to brag about that.
Well, for the last 3 months, I think I've had 2 cans of beer. I just don't drink at home, so I've basically inadvertently done it.
Weirdly enough, quarantine has actually made me healthier, just because I'm now intermittent fasting, so I'm actually losing weight and just eating dinner once a day, and that's me done. But that's not really Lent, like, that's just...
So I'm in one meal a day?
Yeah, just one big meal a day. So, like, I've been doing it for like a month now, and...
He's having like 5 or 6 fish and chips because they're just snacks.
Yeah,
yeah, they're snacks.
A kebab. There we go.
That is a inside joke.
That's so sad. It's just shit tier food, man, is what it is.
I can't believe you think fish and chips. I had fish and chips last night.
Did you?
So,
congrats.
Yeah.
I had Chinese though, last night. Oh,
Chinese, McDonald's and Chinese. You're living it up.
Yeah, why not?
You got to treat yourself. I don't think I've ever been able to brag about something because of it would reveal a lie.
Yeah. Oh, I thought you meant at all.
No, I've definitely... I've bragged. No, don't worry, I've bragged. You kind of get that similar feeling like I have the last few weeks if you've played The Last of Us early or a game early and you have very limited people to talk to.
Yeah.
And you kind of just want to speak. You want to... Or if you're under embargo and you kind of just want to tweet out, like, I love this game, but you actually can't for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
But it's not really revealing a lie. It would just be maybe losing your job.
Dale's humble little platty tweet yesterday. It's just like, come on.
You having a go at Dale? He listens. Tell him how you really feel.
Good. He's an idiot.
That was a fun time. Again, if you want to send in feedback, send it to ign_ukfeedback@ign.com. Have you ever been able to, unable even, to brag about something because it would reveal a lie? Have you ever had a terrible, terrible save loss? And
masturbated on somebody else's bed.
Would you like to, which fictional character would you like to perform surgery on? And why?
God.
God. Maybe you could honour the late Sir Ian Holm and perform surgery on John Hurt's character in Alien and actually save him. So there we go. There's a little suggestion for people there.
Beautiful. Beautiful.
Right.
What music should we have at the end this week? Should we have the fighter theme from Star Wars?
I was going to think something for Ian Holm.
Yeah, could I have Bilbo's theme?
Oh, if you want. Do you want Bilbo's
theme? Yeah, that sounds nice.
There we go. Let's have Bilbo's theme.
In memory.
Why are you laughing?
Because you're smiling, man. What the fuck?
Funny if I smile, is it? I'll just be miserable. How about that? Enjoy some music.
Bye.
Bye.
Hey there, this is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for two women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it, or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Lynskey.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke's special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz. And how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.